Blog Talk Radio.
Right here on the Proceeding Word, so glad, elated, literally excited to be with you on this day. Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. I will. You should. Come on, Zion. Let's do it together. Really, let's rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because in Him I have life. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being, and He's created a day and a time for you and I to rejoice and be glad in Him. But you know, if you don't take the opportunity to do so, therefore you cannot receive the benefits of such. Rejoice in Him. Know that no matter what you're going through today, you were created to make it through. No matter what situations you're facing today, you were designed to go through them, because in Him you have your being. In Him you have your presence. In Him you have, listen to this closely, all hope. He is our hope of glory. I'm glad and elated to know Him. Regardless of the sins you've committed, regardless of the places you've been, the object for you today is to be saved, saved from even yourself, born again, flowing in the favor and the mercy of our Elohim. No, He doesn't tolerate foolishness, but He does forgive those who honor Him with their heart, mind, body, and soul. Give all to Him. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you did. I don't care what anybody wants to accuse you of. Remember, He loves you. He gave His life for you. He desires that you live in Him, through Him, for Him, and towards Him. Today, this day, we want you to have faith. Not just a feeling or an emotion, but to know that in Him, all things are utterly possible, more than doable, and legitimately, listen to this closely, legitimately his will for you. That's right, faith, his faith, the faith that overcomes the world. It's an interesting thing when we realize who we are in him and what he is for us, what he means concerning us. You have to have faith. Well, today again, we're going to be talking about faith. But you can't have faith if you don't have his word. And if you don't have his word, you just don't have faith. Faith is what Elohim's word says about your situation and your belief in that word, that when you apply that word, his word will not return to him void. We talked a little bit about that on the last broadcast, but I want you to know that faith is yours today for the taking. It is yours today for the asking. It is yours because he has provided it. That's right. The Bible declares that he sent his word to heal their land. Mm-hmm. He sent his word. He sent his only begotten son, Adonai, the speaking spirit of Elohim. And what he spoke not only to Moshe and to Aaron and to Yochanan, John the Baptist, he also spoke to you and I by way of both the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Brit Kadasha, the first five books of your Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, his word. The Bible declares in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the word, was Adonai. And the word was with Elohim. Adonai was with Elohim. And the word was God. Adonai was Elohim. And there was nothing made in the earthen realm that was made that Adonai did not make. So that means that the word is the power of our Elohim. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. But many of us don't really embrace that because we think that it was Jesus, who I love, cannot live without, will not attempt to live without. But in all of your getting, there comes a time to get understanding. And when we conceive the reality of who our Elohim is and who the word is, it brings us to a place of consideration. That in him alone we have our living, we have our being, we have our hope. So today, as we prepare our hearts for this dynamic program, we want you to get your Bibles out. Don't you dare not do it. Get your Bible, pull it up on your phone. And for those of you that still struggle, all those Android and those familiar spirits of Androids and Kyoshio Robo phones and galaxies that God didn't make, grab your apparatus, whatever it means, to get up on your Bible applications, whether it's Olive Tree or The Word Bible or Biblios or Bible Gateway or, pull up our app. That's right. Forgive me. The Restoration Bible. You can have that now on your phones. That's right. Go to therestorationbible.com. Go to the Facebook page for The Restoration Bible. And pull up our Bible. But get a Bible. King James preferred at this particular point. I love every translation. I have every translation. But for the sake of all of us communicating rightly, grab your King James version of your Bible or your whatever facsimile you have thereof. But get a Bible. I don't care how you do it. Just get a Bible. Then I want you to join us right here for these next 40 minutes, 50 minutes, I should say, of study. We're about to get into the word. We're about to understand some things that help us embrace the truth of who our Elohim is and what he has designed for you and I to accomplish. You did not awake today to complain. You did not awake today to be frustrated. You did not awake today to be anything less than what he's created you to be. So I want you to know this very quickly. Today is a day of new beginnings for your life. And I want you to really begin to embrace faith. Well, I'm going to take a quick moment, step away, and we'll be right back. But while I'm gone, I want you to grab your neighbors, your cousins, your auntie, and everybody you know, and let them know that the Proceeding Word is on the air. We have to fix a technical difficulty. Don't you tune out. Don't you go away. Don't you leave this broadcast. We will be right back. But let me tell you why it's important. Because you can do all things through Messiah who strengthens you. Today, this word coming out in a few moments, you need to embrace. So let my friend Marvin Sapp tell you, yes, you can.
Can triumph over the enemy. It is a truth. Yes, you can. It doesn't matter what the enemy says to you. It matters what Elohim's word says about your situation and your belief in his word that when you apply that word, his word, like his son, Halabosheta, will not return to him or his throne room void of completion. That's a dynamic thing. We're going to talk more about that tonight in our Bible study. You want to join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. We want you to be there at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those of you who are geographically challenged and cannot meet us out there for the sake that you are just not in the city, the region, and or Central Florida, you can join us by going on your line. Go to Ustream, the letter U, STREAM.TV. Be there at about 7:15, 7:30-ish p.m. EST, and we will be broadcasting this dynamic teaching tonight called and considering what your faith is and actually understanding how important it is. But we want to get into this broadcast right now with you. Turn with me in the book of Matthew. Actually, let's go to Mark. Mark 16. Let's go to Mark 16 and see what Yahweh has for us to learn today in Mark chapter 16. Grab your Bibles, please. Don't you tune out. Get your Bibles. Hurry up. Hurry up. Let's go. Let's get into what the Word says about faith. Is that all right with them? Is that all right with you? So we find here that there's some things that happened in Mark chapter 16. It's a very important piece to comprehend because in Mark 16, we are at the end of the account of the gospel, according to Mark's report. And so we find that Jesus, Yeshua, I should say, has already been crucified. But let's look at what Mark 16 really has to say about some things we have to deal with. The Bible says in verse 1, chapter 16. We're gonna go somewhere very quickly. Listen to this. And when the Sabbath was passed, see, that day Sabbath just keeps sticking with us, doesn't it? And when the Sabbath was passed, Messiah rose on Sabbath. He rose on the Sabbath day. When it was passed, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James of Salomon had brought sweet spices and that they might come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, in the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away for us the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Remember, people of the Most High, that Messiah has already been born. He's already been put in the grave. He's been placed there. He's died on the cross for you and I and our sins. But let's look at what happens after he rises. We're going to talk about his rising and what faith does for us. Listen closely. Verse and number 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, for it was a very great stone. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Yeshua of Nazareth, which was crucified. Listen closely. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place. Look at the place where he had laid. But he's not here now. Verse number 7 says, but go your way and tell his disciples and tell Peter, Cephas, that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Now that's some very deep stuff, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and they were amazed. Neither of them said anything to any other man, for they were still afraid. Verse 9, Mark 16, verse 9. Listen closely. Now when Yeshua was risen, this is so deep to me, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and they wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and he had been seen of her, they initially, listen, they did not believe her. Verse number 12, Mark 16 says, after that he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So we find here in verse 11 that when Yeshua arose, Mary Magdalene seen him. She ran back to tell the story that he had risen, and the Bible declares that the disciples did not believe her. Later, he appeared to two others that were disciples, and as they walked and they went into the country, and then they ran back to tell the residue of the disciples that, yes, it is true, neither of them believed, or none of them believed the two of them either. So we have three people that have seen him, witnessed him, spoken to him, and the disciples, his camp, his Talmudim, would not believe him. This gets interesting. Please stay close. I don't want you to get lost here. Verse number 14 goes on to say, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. Now, what does the word upbraided mean? Well, the word upbraided is 3679 of your New Testament. I know what it means. I just want to make sure you get to read it from the definition better than I'll explain it to you, though I'll give you practical analogies. 3679 is where it is, and let's look at what the word upbraideth means. That's the reason we're going to talk about that, because we're going to talk about that through James today. 3679, the word upbraideth, means for us and you today to understand it. 3679 states these words. It is the word onadidzu. It is from the word 3681, meaning to defame, to rail, to chide, to taunt, to cast in teeth, to reproach, to revile. It also means to upbraid. Now, 3681 is the word onados. It is akin to the base word of notoriety or to taunt, meaning to disgrace or to reproach. Now, so let's look at what this word upbraids mean in the sense of our text in Mark 16:14. He says that after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, sat down eating, Messiah comes and shows himself to the other 11. And he upbraids them. With their unbelief, and because of their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So when he says he upbraided them, you can technically say he taunted them, he drove them out, he pushed them into, or he berated them, he chided them, he disciplined them, because they did not believe what he had said. Now, in Mark chapter 16, you have to look back at what he said in verse number 7. The angel told those that had come to the tomb upon his arriving and arising. The angel says, now you go back and tell Peter and his disciples that he went into Galilee, Yeshua went into Galilee, and there they shall see him, listen to this next phrase, as he said unto you. So what this means is that Messiah had told them, number one, I'm going to die. They didn't believe that till it happened. Number two, I'm going to rise again. They didn't believe that. If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. They didn't believe that. They thought it was some great cute metaphor. And then he also tells his disciples, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, so go wait for me. They don't believe that either. The angel has to remind them that he told them he would meet them in Galilee. Now, I'm going to help you find that next broadcast, because that's going to be an interesting piece of where we continue learning what it means to have faith and the faith to believe. And what is faith? Faith is what Elohim's word says about our situation and our belief in his word, that when we apply his word, the word we apply, his word, his creative power, will not return to the throne of glory void. That is something so important. Let's just stay close while we keep building this backdrop for today's lesson here on Blog Talk. Now listen closely. Look at this. Verse, I'm in Mark 16 still. Let's go down to verse 14. So the Bible says that afterwards he appeared to the 11 who were having dinner. And basically, he dug into them. Nobody reads that way, but that's exactly what happens. That's what the word abraded means. He dug into them. He chided them. He chastised them because they did not believe, because they kept, like the other children of Israel, a hardness of their heart, and they would not believe the report of those that had come to say, Messiah has risen. Verse 15 says, and he said unto them, now that I've come here to tell you this, go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. That's called the gospel. Verse 16, Mark 16, 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Pay close attention. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Listen to the signs. If we believe, then in my name shall you cast out devils. In my name you shall speak with new languages, new tongues. Verse 18 says, and they shall take up serpents if it's in my name. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick in my name, and the sick shall recover. Now, we really need to obey and understand what this means here. The word believe in this sense is a verb. It is a verb in the Greek, and it is in the aorist tense. And this word refers to those who did believe, not those who would believe at that time or in the future. Now, I want to make sure that you're very clear about what it means to believe the word of Elohim. When you believe the word of Elohim, it means that you take it on, you become it. Technically, you become baptized in it. Yeah. Baptism is a whole lot deeper than just you getting in some water and coming up wet after you went down dry. To believe means you've embraced and now you wear the garment of that which you are professing and say is your conviction. One of the biggest problems we have today in Christendom, in my own life, in your life, in everyone's life, watch this, you're going to really catch this, even in Yeshua's life, was believing the vision. What do you mean Yeshua's life? Yes, there was a Garden of Gethsemane experience for a reason. Yeshua knew he came to pass. He came to die. He came to set captives free. He came to redeem mankind back unto Messiah. He became the sacrifice for us. But he asked the Father three times. We know for a fact at least 3 hours he asked the Father the same question. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Why did he say that? Because he did not believe that the people were worthy. But he was willing to obey the will of he who created him because the people he could not believe in. That is deep. Apostle, you don't see that? Well, he would not be there in the garden asking this if he believed that they were worthy of why, in fact, his life should be sacrificed. He said, every time I turn around, these guys, they want me dead. I come to give them hope. I come to give them life. I heal their sick. I lengthen the legs that are shortened. I cast out demons from their children, and they still call me Beelzebub. They don't believe, Father. Therefore, he had a difficult time believing in them that they were worthy. Makes him our Savior. Is that he let his unbeliefs be put aside. Listen to the word he used. Never the lesser of the two wills at play, my will and your will, Creator, don't let the lesser of these two be established. Let my will die and let your will take preeminence. I will die because you sent me. I'm not going to hold back giving my all because of how they've treated me. Sidebar, how many of us can say that after we've experienced the people that we know Yahweh put us in the life of and how they've treated us because we were not some convenient commodity for them, how they've lied on us, murmured against us, your name, your character, your reputation through the streets, proclaiming to be believers of like faith. And then Yahweh says, I need you to sacrifice for them that even in their mess, known clear mess, they don't die. But your sacrifice, your pride, your denying the right to get even with them can save their lives. How many of us realize how many times we're in the same position that Messiah is in? Oh, no, we're not going to die on a cross and shed our blood. No, that's not going to happen. Only he can do that. He's the only one who has that power, had that strength, and had that particular assignment to do. But many times you and I are left in similar less degree, but similar situations where you have to really forgive the person and do the will of God for that person in spite of your feelings and or how they've left you feeling based on what they've done to you. You have to really believe that Elohim wants them saved in order for you to shut down your survival instincts and allow the will of the Creator, who is the life giver, to bring hope, restoration, and salvation to someone you know deserves death. Now, Apostle, what are you talking about? Why are you so glim? Why are you so bleak with this? Because we need to realize that if we're going to be, as we say, quote unquote, Christians, a phrase that I understand, I'm not the fondest of, if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be in the way of Messiah, if we're going to be believers of his kingdom of Elohim, then we need to first begin to understand we have to be like him. And what he did for us, as many times as we have, as one writer says, crucified Messiah afresh, every time we say we love him and then we go back on his word, we go back into us, we like a dog returning to our own vomit. Every time we do such, every time we do this, this is the important thing. He still believes, because Yahweh gave us life, that we are worth saving. How many times have we, in spite of how many times others have hurt us, proven that they deserve something far less than what Yahweh has for them? How many times will we not let our will precede Yahweh's will for another human, a family member, a brother, a sister, a crackhead friend that just keeps going back, an alcoholic father who just keeps going back, a disgruntled individual who just keeps riding you and parasiting off of you? And we have to remember to believe in who we call Messiah. We must be baptized in his spirit. To be baptized in his spirit means we believe that Elohim has a greater plan for the person we are making the sacrifice for. Just like we had a greater plan in store for us than the life we were living out, which is why Messiah died for us. Now, I'm going to get back to our lesson on having faith to believe. I want to share this with you because the disciples, though they walk with Messiah, listen to me closely, listen to these words closely with Messiah, his Talmidim, though they had been given the words of prophecy that he would not only rise again and in how many days, but that he would meet them in Galilee, we find that they, because of fear of the Jews, they did not believe he was risen. They did not believe Mary Magdalene. They thought she was an emotional wreck based on mourning of a lost and a loved one. They thought that the other two who'd seen him were just hoping that it were true. We can't believe that. Even Thomas, as we told you before, when Messiah finally showed up to the other 11 at dinner, he walks and shows himself to them. When he sees Thomas, he says, look, thrust your fingers through, as you said you wanted, my piercings. Thrust your finger into my side. Feel my hands. If this was a ghost wouldn't have holes. I am he who died, and I am yet alive. Now, you have to believe that this man wasn't the doubter we call him. He was one who simply says, I need proof. I need to see the Yod-Heh Vod-Heh. I need to see the nail-scarred hands. He wasn't doubting. He just did not believe what they were saying. But let's get back to this point of having faith to believe. And I hope that this helps someone, because I really want you to get this. When Yeshua rises again, and the disciples that he raised and cultured and nurtured and literally had on his own pap did not believe the words he had spoken. They did not remember enough. They did not care enough to remember the words he spoke, that he said, I will rise again. When I rise again, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. They didn't believe. When he sees them at dinner, he lays into them. Now, this one verse doesn't give us enough of what he did and how he did and why he did it, but it tells us that he upbraided them with their unbelief. You have to remember that now that he's risen, he gives us what we call the Great Commission. He tells us to go into all the world. He says, to as many that believe on me and shall be baptized, take on my spirit, take on my thinking, take on my word, which is the water. Now are you cleansed by the water, which is the word of Elohim. Once you've believed in me and you've been baptized in me, you shall be saved. And he that believes not, unfortunately, will be damned. And so for you to know that this is true, those of you who do believe and will believe and be baptized in me, not just in some water sprinkled or dipped or whatever your version of baptism is, not just to be dipped in water, but once you really believe in me and are baptized in my spirit, these signs will follow you, that in my name, see, that's the thing. Paul made a statement. Paul said something that really shook the core of how we should be able to address the spirit realm as humans. Paul says, number one, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to them that believe. Paul also says and teaches us and encourages us and admonishes us to understand this other principle. He says, I am crucified in Messiah. Nevertheless, though I'm crucified in Messiah, nevertheless I live. Yet, I need you to understand, it is not me that lives, but it is Messiah that lives in me. And now the life that I live it now by the fuel, by the energy that is called faith. What is faith? Faith is what Elohim's word says. What is Elohim's word? Elohim's word is Adonai. Adonai is the speaking spirit, the pronunciating spirit of the plans and the engineered thoughts of Yahweh. So as I give you this formula for understanding how faith works, you remove yourself from believing faith is an emotion. Faith is a full functioning component, which is word and voice activated. You see, when Messiah gives us words, when Messiah gave the disciples words, he prayed a prayer in John chapter 17. That prayer went this way. He says, Father, Yahweh, I have given them your words. And I've not lost one except the one we plan to lose. Now I pray you, Yahweh, ignite them as you ignited me. Help them to see your word as I see and know your word. Basically, he said, help them to be one like you and I are one. And that prayer was not just for those Talmudim, those disciples there. those of you listening on this line and wanting to have a deeper and a greater relationship in practicality and in spirituality with Messiah and with the Yahweh, our Elohim, that prayer was for us. That's why he said for Peter, he says, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, hallelujah, that your what? Faith fails not. See, let me help you with the shifting and the sifting. When Yeshua prays this prayer over Simon Cephas, he says, Simeon, Simeon, or Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. When something desires you, it's different than liking you. It's different than preferring you. Desire means I have an insatiable need, and I'm not going to stop until I have that need satisfied. That is desire in its graphic, most graphic form. So when Yeshua said this to Simon, he says, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to own you. This is deep. He says he's desired to have you, to own you, that he may break you down and sift you like wheat. Now, this is important. Please understand the sifting process here that we discuss in the writ. Now, this is going to be exegetical. I'll do my best to be as apologetic about it as I can. I'm not going to worry about whether or not you grasp this right up front, but I trust Ruach HaKodesh will give you revelation on this. In order to have someone, you have to possess them. In order to break them, listen, believers who have life, in order to break you and sift you, you have to go back in the days, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when people used colanders and sifters, and my mother was a baker, so I knew how to use confectionery grade items of grain and sugar. We knew how to use a crucible and break something up. We knew how to use the flour dispenser. We knew how to use a colander to drain waters from. Listen closely. To sift you means you have to be dry. And that's why the Bible says we have to break up our own fallow ground. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. But to have faith to believe, listen, is so important. Because Yeshua says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you. To sift you means I got to break you. To break you means you have to be dry. Because if you are flexible, if you are pliable, I can't break you. But to break you means I have to dry you out. Listen, Zion. This is a direct download from Ruach HaKodesh as we speak. I sit here in my tallit and I worship him in this writ, and he's giving me download on this. I want you to catch this. If he breaks you, you're dry. You are without moisture. Now, when you're without moisture, you're brittle. You have no hope. When you are broken and you're able to be broken, you have no moisture to you. And you and I are only mud pies walking. That's all we are. And if the water should leave our bodies and we become dehydrated, we become brittle. Our vascular systems become rigid. They cannot carry. They don't remain moist. Our kidneys, our liver, our stomachs, the villi in our small and large intestine, they don't work right because there's no moisture. The saliva glands that you have don't work right. Your eyes, they become dry. Your ears, the wax builds up. It's a problem when you don't have moisture in you. Now, what's true in the natural is first true in the spiritual. Listen to this. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you, dry you out, and then break you. Because you're a whole clump. But once you've been dried out, I can take a hammer, I can take a weight, I can take a problem, and I can break you with it. Once I've broken you with it, I can grind you down. Listen, until you become a fine flour. And then if you notice, if you take, for instance, confectionery sugar, if you take fine white flour, or you take, for this matter, baby powder, and you put baby powder in your hand, and you have it so fine that if you blow on it, it will be scattered to the wind. And if Peter doesn't understand what Yeshua is saying to him. He's saying that once Satan has you ground down to where he can sift you like wheat, that means that when he begins to sift you and throws you to the wind, your complete person, your complete being, the original intent of you, never comes back to its full capacity because all of your parts will be blown to the wind. So if you take that baby powder and you take it outside and you blow it up in the air, you will never find all those particles to come back. You will not find every particle that was broken off, and you'll never be complete. This is why, listen, moisture is so important. Well, why do you keep saying moisture, Apostle? Dry moisture, dry moisture. Yeshua was giving us a message here. He says when the word is not in you, you become dry and brittle. And then you begin to think like the world, act like the world, function like the world, and you're broken like the world. And then once broken, you've been had. Once had, you've been turned out, as we say in the streets. Once you've been turned out, you will do anything to survive. And that's how Satan wants many of us as believers to become. But listen to this right here. He says, listen to our saving grace. Hallelujah. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. So that means every word I put in you. See, the word is also a type for water. That is so beautiful. The water, the word in you, keeps you from being brittle and broken. The water in you keeps you agile so you can't be had by the enemy. Because if you're dry, you're brittle, you can't move, you've lost agility, you don't have the activity of limbs, and you are sitting duck for whoever wants to capture you. We're talking spiritual connotation. I pray you get this. And many of us, when we leave ourselves from not studying his word every night, every morning, Psalms 1 says it very clearly. Look at what Psalms 1 says. It says, blessed is that man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, the Torah of Elohim. And in that Torah does he meditate, what? Day and night. For he shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water. So Yeshua prays for Peter. He prays for Simon. He prays for Cephas. He says, Cephas, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but prayed for you that your faith fails not. All right, Apostle, so what you mean faith? Yeah, you already said the moisture and the word. Prove what you're talking about. Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now are you cleansed by the washing of the water, which is the word. So faith is the word. The word is the water. The water keeps us moist. The water cleanses us. And if Satan can keep us out of water, if he can keep us out of the word, if he can keep us out of cleanliness, which is next to Elohim, if he can keep us out of that which libates us and keeps us agile, he can sift us like wheat, blow us to the wind, and we become, as classified in culture today, scatterbrains. We'll be scattered like the children of Israel were whenever they became disobedient. Look at this in proper principle. Whenever Israel neglected, if you go back and read Devarim 28, Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and you read that writ, everybody talks about the first 14 chapters, which are blessings, 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 blessings. Let me just quickly flip there. I'm being interrupted by Ruach HaKodesh as we speak. I'm going to have to deviate from the course in which I had prepared for you. I'll come back to that on next broadcast. But he wants me to go to Devarim 28 and read something into your hearing, because now you're understanding the power of word, the power of his instruction, the power of the word. Look at what he says in Devarim 28. And here's what he says. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to do all of his commandments,
which I command thee this day. Now, this is Yahweh speaking to Moshe to tell the children of Israel that I am looking to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be blessed and overtaken with blessings. You're going to be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body, your cattle, your ground, your kine, the flocks, your sheep, your basket. You're going to be blessed when you go. You're going to be blessed when you come. Your enemies will rise up against you. But because I'm blessing you and you keep my word, you stay moist, you stay agile, your enemies will be smitten before you. And they're going to flee away from you seven ways. Yahweh says himself, I'll command the blessings upon you in your storehouses, upon your land. I'm going to establish you, our holy people. I'm swearing this to you, Yahweh says, but you got to stay in my word. Now, everybody likes to quote Deuteronomy 28. We read it up until verse 14, because that talks about the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah, the blessings, the empowerments, the favor of Elohim. But here's the piece we fail to realize. Deuteronomy 28 is not 14 chapters long. Verses long. It's 68 verses long. Only 14 of those verses deal with the blessings if we keep the word on us. 15 through 68 deals with when we don't use the word, we dry out, and Yahweh allows us to be a sitting duck to our enemy, and in some cases allows our enemy to find us. You know, can I tell y'all briefly how important the water or the word is in your life? You've never heard teaching like this, I know, and if you have, you haven't seen it connected this way, but I just want you to pay attention. For those of you that understand the writ, you understand the Brit Chadasa, you understand the Tanakh, you understand the Torah, meaning you understand your 66 books of the canonized Bibles. The importance of the word, Yahweh tried to tell it to us, even through the psalmist. There's a song that we sing. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Now listen, the psalmist says, as the deer pants, pants. He's being chased by a predator. He's being chased by someone who has preyed on him, P-R-E-Y-E-D, preyed on him, is trying to consume him, to make a meal of him, to use him for whatever its purpose would be. And he is panting to get to the water brook. Oh, why is this so important? Because the water brook holds the water. When we are dried out and we are sweating out, what liquid or water that is in us, and we begin to sweat it out, we leave a scent, and the predator finds our scent no matter how fast we run. A deer can outrun most of its predators. What gets the deer caught is that the predator never loses his scent, because once the deer begins to run, he sweats. His sweat leaves a scent. His scent is left in his footprints. It's left on the brush that he rubs up against. It's left on the tree trunk. It's left on the leaves that fall in his way. And the predator can smell the deer. But if the deer, hallelujah, oh glory, as the deer, that deer is running to find water. Because if he can get enough of a lead on the predator and he can get to the water, he can wash his scent off in the water, and the predator, unless the predator can see him with his eyes, will not be able to overtake the deer. That's why we sing the song, as the deer pants for the water, so our souls should pant after thee, Adonai. So when we get in the word, the enemy can't find you. That's why Yahweh can give the guarantee of Isaiah and say, no weapon formed against you will prosper, but you've got to be in me. That's why Deuteronomy Devarim says that when you hearken diligently unto my word, I'll protect you. That's why Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's in his word. That's in his name. His name carries his word. His word is the water that cleanses you. His word is the water that baptizes you. It keeps you undetected from the predators that work and walk on dry ground. I hope that that in some way encourages you to read your Bibles every day. Psalms 1 again. He that meditates both day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Because you're moist, because you're agile, because Satan can't get you as a dried out, fallowed ground and sift you like powder to blow you to the wind, that the person that is you doesn't get blown and scattered abroad and never able to regroup itself. Listen, if you're with us on the line, I want to take this opportunity to pray with you. Yeshua's already prayed for you. My prayer will be that we remember the prayer that Yeshua gave to even Simon, even Cephas. See, the interesting thing about Cephas, some say Peter, some say Simon, Cephas, the Bible declares, is the word for stone. We've made the mistake to think it was the word for rock. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and we thought that it was upon Peter. But Peter, the word Peter, properly interpreted in the Hebrew, is Cephas. And Cephas, or Kephas to some, it is a stone. So if you take a stone, you have a better chance of sifting that stone, because a stone is dry. Now, it's interesting because that stone is just a small piece. And if that stone is disconnected from the rock, then that means that it's not enough moisture to keep it. The piece that we have to realize is that Peter, Cephas, Simon, was already dry. And Yeshua gave him foresight to say, Satan is looking to you. He's looking to put you in his hands and hold you in his script, like David found five smooth stones along the brook to kill Goliath. Satan wants to hold you in his script and then break you down and then sift you and make you sand, because the stone that you are has the ability to kill the Goliath that he would bring to anybody after you and in your forelife. Saints of the Most High, we're not making this up. It's in your Bible. Well, our broadcast is coming to an end. I pray and hope that you all have been favored and blessed by the study that we've had today. I sort of call it a midrash. I want you today, tune in with us, 3155 South John Young Parkway. We'll be getting into Bible study. We're going to talk a little bit deeper about what faith really is. These broadcasts only give me 45 minutes technically to share with you some dynamic information that I could go on for hours talking about. I want you to have faith to believe that whatever Yahweh's word says about your situation, he is more than able to do it. Don't let what it looks like keep you from believing his word. His word will always go contrary to your sight, until you make his word your sight, and then you see with his lens, and that which you see will manifest in your realm. Well, I got to get out of here because I want to teach you the rest of the day. Join me tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, those of you that are here physically in the geographical region, and then those of you that are online, view us at ustream.tv at about 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tune in for these dynamic teachings. And we hope to see you soon. Remember, go to our website, vwjministries.com. We need your support. We need to enhance and increase our quality of broadcasting to you and to others who yet know what we teach, but are looking for what we teach. That's what's called being sought out. A sought out kingdom ministry is what we are. We're asking Yahweh to grant us through you that which is needed. One of those things is your prayers, your word of mouth advertising, and yes, of course, whatever big or small contribution you can make. Go to vwjministries.com to apply for all three that we've just discussed. But let me pray with you right now. Father, in the name of our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Most, we bow before you and we're asking you, as a young man whose son was sick of spirits and the disciples couldn't cast this spirit out, and Yeshua told them these things come forth only but by fasting and prayer, he laid his hands and he prayed. But we're also praying, Father, that as another young man cried, he says, Father, I believe, Yeshua, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Today, many of us believe in you. We believe that you'll do it. We believe that the word has testimonies of your proof and your power of manifesting deliverance. But we sometimes don't believe it can happen to us. To believe with belief what we believe, and to hold that belief until we're baptized in your spirit and we come up just like you. This is our earnest prayer today. I pray for your people on this call. Honor them, healing. Help them to believe to healing, Yahweh Rapha. Attorneys that are needed, help them, Yahweh Nisi, in their courtroom. Strength, Yahweh Uzai, we pray you, show yourself real to them. Those who are in need of different things of financial, we pray, Yahweh Yireth, you provide as you always promise, but only through their obedience. So therefore today, we're asking you that through repentance and the plan of salvation, your purpose, provision, will be made manifest. This we earnestly pray. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we say and pray. Amen. Well, I got to get going. You got to get going too. Till we meet again. See you next week. See you next broadcast. And I will see you prayerfully tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shalom.